This is my video update on this Tuesday midday, February the 24th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the arrest of Peter Mandelson. He was taken into custody by the police. He was questioned and he was later let go. Taken into custody on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And this has to do with the Epstein files and the part of the Epstein files where there was some sort of an exchange of money for information, $75,000 in exchange for information. That was revealed in a document in the Epstein files that was released to the public. And Mandelson, he claims that he has no recollection of ever receiving the money from Epstein. That is what Mandelson is going with. This whole $75,000 exchange of money that is in one of the documents, according to Mandelson, I can't remember getting that money. The UK media, they tried to cover for Mandelson a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was the Sunday Times, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong about that. But there was an article on Mandelson trying to cover up for him where Mandelson claimed that he was the victim of Epstein. He was a victim of Epstein's manipulation, is what he said. A master manipulator, and I was his victim. So the UK media, always there to help cover up for the Epstein class. But things are not looking good for Starmer. Because when Mandelson goes down, if you want to believe that they're actually going to take down Mandelson. But this is not a good sign for Starmer. If Mandelson has to be taken down, then the Starmer administration is in big, big trouble. They thought that Andrew was going to be enough. The prince, the Andrew formerly known as Prince, that was not enough. So they had to give over Mandelson. We'll see if that will be enough to keep Starmer in as prime minister. I don't think so. Anyway, the UK media, the Telegraph, they claim that Epstein moved a lot of his files and his computers into storage facilities in the United States, around 8 different storage facilities in Florida, in New York, contain Epstein's computers and a lot of his documents that the U.S. authorities have not yet searched. This is what the Telegraph is saying. After his first arrest, the Telegraph is reporting, Epstein hired private investigators to take a bunch of his computers and his files and documents into various storage locations throughout the United States. But the Telegraph specifically said Florida and New York were where these storage facilities are located. And the Telegraph knows this by going through the Epstein documents and seeing Epstein communicating with various private investigators and telling them to take files and start to move them into storage facilities. So why is Kash Patel, why is Pam Bondi not investigating this? Well, Kash Patel can't investigate this because he's in Italy partying it up with the U.S. Ice hockey team. So he's busy. He's busy on a private jet in Italy celebrating the gold medal win in the Olympics. So Kash Patel is busy. But I don't know, maybe Bondi can take some time out of her busy day to take a look at these storage facilities with Epstein documents, allegedly containing Epstein documents. So let's talk about the next big news topic, which is the possible U.S. war with Iran. And the USS Ford is now in Crete, in Souda Bay. So it's very close to making its way to the Eastern Mediterranean. Right now it is in Crete. And there are reports that the USS Ford has some toilet issues, that the toilet is clogged up and it's overflowing, and there's poop all over the place on the USS Ford. I don't know if this is true. Probably is true, but obviously I can't confirm any of this. But there are some funny posts about this and some funny memes about the overflowing toilet on the USS Ford. Allegedly, the overflowing toilets on the USS Ford. There you can see, I'm putting it up on the screen right now, there you can see Marco Rubio sitting in the Oval Office holding a toilet plunger. That's pretty funny. And how about this post from Rathbone? As soon as we get our toilets fixed, we are going to fuck Iran up. As soon as we get the toilets fixed, as soon as we fix the overflowing toilets, then we're going to start a war with Iran. But we have to get those toilets fixed. So there are reports saying that the Trump administration, that U.S. President Trump and his administration, consulting with the generals, that they're not too happy about what information the military, the generals, are giving them, which is that it will not be easy to get a quick regime change in Iran. That is the information that the military allegedly is giving to Trump. And he is very frustrated with this information. The options presented to him are diplomacy or some sort of a long war, or perhaps a limited strike like the first strike against Iran. Take out a facility or two and call it a day. So he's not happy with this advice that he is getting. Trump wants the regime change. Israel is demanding a regime change. Trump needs to deliver a regime change in Iran. And Trump would like to accomplish this regime change in a sneaky trickery manner, if that's a good way of putting it. He wants to use trickery and deception, like the Maduro Venezuela operation. Or some sort of quick decapitation strike. This is what Trump would like. This is what he wants to hear from the U.S. military. We'll be able to strike here and there. This will take out the supreme leader. This will take out the president and the government. And that'll be that. And then we can come in and take over Iran or break up Iran or whatever. That's what Trump wants to hear, but he's not getting that information from the military, and this is frustrating him. But Trump is disputing this, actually. He is saying that the reporting, mostly from the Wall Street Journal, that this reporting is false, that General Kane is absolutely ready to go to war with Iran, and if this is going to be a long war, then so be it. General Kane, according to Trump, believes that the U.S. can easily win a war against Iran, but he is saying that the U.S. military is absolutely ready to go to war with Iran. Of course, Trump says that he would prefer diplomacy, but any reports talking about doubts or stuff like that with an operation against Iran are false. Trump posted quite a long message on Truth Social. He said, numerous stories from the fake news media have been circulating, stating that General Daniel Kane, sometimes referred to as Raisin, is against us going to war with Iran. The story does not attribute the vast wealth of knowledge to anyone and is 100% Incorrect. General Kane, like all of us, would like not to see war, but if a decision is made on going against Iran at a military level, it is his opinion that it will be something easily won. He knows Iran well in that he was in charge of Midnight Hammer, the attack on the Iranian nuclear development. Blah, blah, blah. And then he just goes on and on talking about war with Iran, about how whatever's been written about any doubts with war against Iran, it's all fake news. And then he says that he's the one that makes decisions about whether the U.S. will go to war with Iran. He prefers diplomacy. But if there's war, so be it. And it'll be a very sad day for the Iranian people if there's a war, because they are great and wonderful, and something like this should never happen to them, right? The people of Iran are great and wonderful, and something like this should never happen to them, but I'm ready to attack their country. President Donald J. Trump. That was the message on Truth Social. Lindsey Graham is very excited about war with Iran. He is talking about conflict with Iran nonstop. He was on Sean Hannity's radio show. Where else would he go? His good buddy, Sean Hannity, another neocon warmonger. And Graham said that this is now the time to strike. He says that it is time to take out the supreme leader. It's time to take out the Iranian leadership. And he claims that when the Iranian leadership is taken out, then there will be peace throughout the entire Middle East. Iran is the problem, according to Graham. Take out Iran, and then you're going to have peace and stability throughout the entire Middle East. Graham also weighed in on what's going on in Mexico. He said that Mexico is afraid of Trump, and that's a good thing. Good thing that Mexico is afraid of Trump. He also said that Mexico is in many ways virtually a failed state. We're trying to resurrect what's left of the rule of law in Mexico and work together. Graham sure loves chaos. He sure loves war and chaos. I've never seen any leader in politics ever in my life that has loved war and chaos like Graham does. Give him a war, give him violence, he's on it. More war, more violence. He loves violence, Graham. My God. Anyway, that's what he said about Iran and about Mexico. The Mexican authorities, they said that they have also killed El Mencho's right-hand guy, known as El Tuli, who was also the financial chief of the CJNG's operations. So he was also killed. And my understanding of things is that for the most part, order has been restored in Mexico, or at least in the regions in Mexico where there was violence between the authorities and this CJNG cartel. So that's an update on Mexico. Shifting gears to Project Ukraine. Ursula von der Pyret, she arrived in Kiev for the bazillionth time that she has been in Kiev. She's in Kiev more than she is in EU headquarters. She is always in Kiev, at least that's how it seems. Anyway, she's in Kiev again, and she's going to be in Kiev so they can commemorate the 4 years of the conflict. February 24th, Russia's unprovoked full-scale invasion of Ukraine, unprovoked and full-scale, the key words. And she's in Kiev to meet with Zelensky, to show the EU support. I don't know, maybe she'll make a couple of speeches or something. But Ursula, in Kiev, Zelensky, he gave an interview to CNN. He is making the media rounds as we have the 4 year anniversary of the conflict. And he was speaking to BBC the other day. He's speaking to all kinds of media outlets. And yesterday it was CNN's turn to speak to Le Gobelin Vert. And his message to the United States and to U.S. President Trump is to stay on our side. Stay with us, President Trump. Do not leave us. Do not abandon us. That was his message to Trump and the United States. Zelensky told CNN, and I'm going to read this in my Zelensky voice, they have to stay with a democratic country which is fighting against one person, because this person is a war. Putin is a war. It's all about himself. It's all about one person and the country. All his country is in the prison. If they really want to stop Putin, America's so strong, Zelensky said. Asked if he believes Trump is putting enough pressure on Putin, Zelensky said, no. that was Zelensky's message to CNN. It's all one person. It's just one person. Putin is a war. Is that what he said? Yeah, Putin is a war. Putin is a war. Miss CNN journalist lady, let me tell you, Putin is a war. The Putin is a war. Right, Podolyak? Yes, Mr. President, that is correct. Miss CNN journalist lady, this is Podolyak. He's my good friend. Anyway, that was Zelensky's message to Trump and the United States. Money and weapons. Stay with us. Continue to give us money and weapons. That's a tough ask. Le Gobelin Vert. Very tough ask, because the United States is about to get into a very big war with Iran. They're going to need whatever weapons they have left. The United States has been quite demilitarized from the Ukraine adventure, the Ukraine debacle. So Slovakia, they have officially cut off electricity to Ukraine. At least that's how it looks. Fico has announced that the Druzhba pipeline, it is not resuming oil to Slovakia and to Hungary. And therefore, as he said a couple of days ago, as he promised, he will deliver. He will deliver the end of electricity to Ukraine from Slovakia. Slovakia provides about 18 to 22% of Ukraine's electricity. Slovakia said that Fico has told the Slovakian electricity companies to shut it down. My understanding is that Romania has already announced that they will try and compensate with electricity from Romania to Ukraine. But we'll see what happens there. There was a strike in Tatarstan, deep inside Russia, hitting one of the pumping stations, the oil pumping stations, that gets the oil to the Druzhba. And this pumping station was hit by Ukrainian, I don't know, a drone or a missile, I think. But anyway, it was hit. And we don't have much information as to what's going on there. But deep inside Russia, another strike deep inside Russian territory, Tatarstan. Very deep. This could only be done with the assistance, the targeting, the intel of the United States. That's just the way it is. Maybe it was a Ukrainian drone. Maybe it was the Pink Flamingo missile. Maybe it was Storm Shadow missile, whatever. The intel, the targeting, only from the United States. So the U.S., as it plays the part of the neutral mediator in the conflict between Ukraine and Russia, continues to assist in attacking Russia, in attacking the pumping station that gets the oil to the Druzhba, which is the Druzhba pipeline, which is giving the oil to Hungary and to Slovakia. You see how all of this goes? So what will Putin do? What will Putin do as this continues, these attacks continue with the help, most likely with the help of the United States? Negotiate on Thursday is the plan. Russia will negotiate with the United States this Thursday. The diplomacy will continue. The fiction that the U.S., that the Trump administration is working towards peace with Project Ukraine, that's going to be the Russian response to these attacks. At least that's how it looks. But you cross the red line of long-range missile strikes into Russia and do nothing, well, more attacks are going to continue. That's how this goes. So that's the latest attack deep into Russia. And these strikes are deep. The strike that was allegedly done by the Flamingo a couple of days ago, that's 1,300 kilometers into Russia. And now you have this attack on this pumping station, which is also very deep inside Russia. So if Russia doesn't enforce this red line, then the attacks will continue and they will escalate. So I think I can start moving to Clown World. Can I get to Clown World territory? Not quite yet. Not quite yet. Let's talk about Grok AI, which is very close or has signed or is very close to signing an agreement with the Department of War, with the Pentagon. It's going to integrate Grok AI into its military systems. The Pentagon is very upset with Anthropic AI, because Anthropic is demanding that the U.S. military apply some ethics limitations and safeguards. So its AI can be integrated into the U.S.'s military systems, but what Anthropic is demanding of the Department of War is that there are some human interactions in the loop as the AI is used for military purposes, that there is some human interaction in the decision-making process. So the AI just doesn't go crazy and just doesn't start destroying everything that it considers it needs to destroy, right? So that's what Anthropic's ask is, which I find to be very, very reasonable. Actually, I think it should be a must that there are some human interactions, some human decisions that need to be made before the AI is implemented in military use. But Grok, it appears that Grok doesn't have a problem with any of this. Grok doesn't need any safeguards. It's okay with its systems being used in the U.S. military without any limitations. So it looks like they're going to be scoring a very big contract with the Pentagon. Grok being Musk's AI system. Elon Musk, very tied into the U.S. Department of War. Very, very tied in. Starlink, now Grok, SpaceX. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. So I think now we can get to a Clown World. And for this Clown World, we go back in time to the German administration of Scholz and Baerbock. Scholz and Baerbock. They're back. Well, Scholz is back. Baerbock is hanging around the UN as the Presidente of the General Assembly. I'll get to Annalena 360 in a minute, but Olaf Scholz was brought back to speak about conflict in Ukraine, to speak about the AfD. Pirate Scholz, aye aye matey, I'm Pirate Scholz and I'm back. Yeah, they brought back Pirate Scholz. That's how you know the Epstein class, the globalists, are getting very desperate, very panicky when they have to bring back the pirate, Pirate Scholz, to start talking about the conflict in Ukraine, and also to warn about the AfD. He said that that the AfD must not get into power. That was his warning. Do not allow the AfD to win. They must be stopped. What did he say about the AfD? He said there is a firewall. It's about preventing them from gaining power. Quite an admission from Olaf Scholz. There's a firewall that has been put in place. What a nice democracy, huh? What an interesting democracy, that Germany. Putting up firewalls to prevent AfD from winning an election. From possibly winning an election and coming into power. The fear is that if AfD was ever to get into power, that they would start moving away from Project Ukraine. They would be done with Project Ukraine. That's the fear that the globalist class has. So they bring out Pirate Scholz to send the warning. No AfD, there's a firewall. A firewall to prevent the AfD. That firewall must work. And then he started to talk about Project Ukraine. And about, what did he say, about the oil and the energy from Russia to Europe. He said that after Crimea, the European Union should have done more to get away from Russian energy. They should have been stricter sanctions imposed on Russia after Crimea, but the EU never would have imagined that they would be so dependent on Russian energy, and it would be so difficult to move away from Russian energy. It should have been done sooner. The sooner, the better. But the EU was late to react after Crimea. And so it's made the whole moving away from Russian energy a bit more painful and difficult. Wasn't Olaf Scholz standing next to Biden when Biden talked about blowing up Nord Stream? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. The weakness that is known as Pirate Scholz. So weak. Standing right next to Biden, right next to President Biden, when a reporter asked Biden, "You're going to blow up Nord Stream, huh? Or what are you going to do to stop?" She didn't say blow up Nord Stream. Let's be fair to Bidenopolis. She said, "What are you going to do to stop Russian oil, gas via Nord Stream to Europe?" And Biden said, "We'll take care of it. Believe me, if Russia goes into Ukraine, we will make sure that Nord Stream is no more." That was pretty much what Biden said. I'm sure you guys will drop the exact quotes in the comments down below. But Olaf Scholz was standing right next to Biden when Biden said that. And you know what Olaf Scholz said? Nothing. He said nothing. So weak. So freaking weak, that Olaf Scholz. That's your country. You were chancellor, Olaf. You were chancellor of Germany. And you had another leader saying that they're going to remove your critical energy infrastructure. Anyway, now Olaf Scholz is saying that, you know, it wasn't really my fault. It should have been removed a lot sooner. Don't blame me. Don't blame me about Germany's deindustrialization. It's not my fault. It should have been done sooner, way back in 2014-15. Blame it on Merkel. Oh, man. Annalena Baerbock. Let's go to Annalena 360. She was giving a speech yesterday, and Annalena said, "How could it happen that in 80 years, not a single woman has ever held the position of Secretary General?"
"Finally, for an institution built on human rights, representing all of the people, one question looms large. How is it that within 80 years, a woman has never served as Secretary General, even though half of the 8 billion people we are supposed to serve are women and girls?
She was giving a speech in the United Nations. She is El Presidente of the United Nations General Assembly. It's a one-year term. So she's about 6 months into it now, I believe. So maybe she has about 6 months left of being president of the UN General Assembly. And then what is Annalena going to do? Then what is she going to do? Well, she's telling the world what her next position should be, or at least she's telling the globalist leaders, the Epstein class globalist leaders, what her next position should be. President of the entire United Nations, Secretary General of the entire United Nations. That is what Annalena is lobbying for. She is saying, you know, there hasn't been a woman who's been Secretary General of the United Nations. Maybe it's time to appoint one. How about me? Why not? Just give her the damn job. Just give it to her. We might as well just be done with the rules-based, international rules-based globalist order. Give Annalena the job. The quicker it fails, the quicker it collapses, the better for everyone. I don't know what to say anymore. Yeah, Annalena Baerbock, Secretary General of the United Nations. Why not? It's a clown world. Why not? It fits. Anyway, that's my video, everybody. I will end it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. Check us out on Substack. $70 orders, free shipping on all merch on the Duran shop. Like, share, subscribe to this channel. And I think that's it. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.